May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 957. Why sinks my weak, desponding mind? Why heaves my heart the anxious sigh? Can sovereign goodness be unkind? Am I not safe since God is nigh? Hymn 957.
I pray, from the Holy Word of God, we'll read together Paul's second epistle to Timothy, chapters 1 and part of chapter 2. Second epistle to Timothy, chapter 1, and reading the first 13 verses of chapter 2. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Saviour Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygelus and Hermogenes. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day. And in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboureth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. And may God bless to us that reading from his holy word, and may he teach us each how to pray. Most merciful and gracious and almighty Lord God in heaven, we seek thy gracious help and blessing here as we gather in this house of prayer this evening. We pray, Lord, that thou remember us here and visit us here with thy presence. Bless the reading and the preaching of thy word and the singing of thy praises. Bless these things to our never dying souls, we pray. Lord, we pray thy presence to be known and felt here as we assemble ourselves for worship. We pray that thou pour out the Holy Spirit upon us, that thou wilt clothe the word with power, that thou wilt direct thy word, that thou wilt grant, Lord, the application of thy word, that thou wilt, Lord, apply the word with power, that it may be the word of a king. For where the word of the king is, there is power. Lord, we pray that that power, that divine power, to be applied to the word, thy word, here this night. That power which can a change, a poor sinner's heart. That power which can bring life, light and liberty, where before there is darkness, deadness and bondage. That thou wilt be pleased to turn night to day. That thou wilt be pleased to straighten that which is crooked. And Lord, that thou wilt be pleased to raise up those that are cast down and strengthen those that are weak. We pray, Lord, for thy almighty hand of delivering and recovering grace to be stretched forth, to touch hard and troubled hearts this evening. We pray, Lord, that thou be with and bless those that are tempted. And maybe, Lord, there are those that are tempted to give up. And, Lord, we pray for those that may be tempted so that they feel that there is no hope. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt appear unto those as a God of all comfort, a God of all grace, that thou touch the mountains, that they may flow down at thy presence. Oh, we pray, Lord, that thou touch them, that they may smoke. Oh, we pray, Lord, that thou make a way for those who feel their way is hedged up. Those, Lord, that feel those things rising on either hand and feel maybe at a Red Sea place in their lives. Cannot go back, but cannot see a way forward. No place to turn. Lord, may their eyes be up unto thee. May there be that upward glancing. May there be that cry of extremity, that cry of the destitute. Lord, we pray that thou draw out of us each a prayer of necessity. Give me Christ, or else I die. Lord, we pray then for thy blessing. We seek all these things for the honour and glory of thy great and holy name. Oh Lord, as those many benefits and blessings flow forth, which proceed from the throne of God in heaven, oh may all the glory be thine, and the benefit be ours. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt do us good in thy good pleasure, and build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Restore unto us the joy of thy salvation. Be with any, Lord, who are maybe feeling out of the way, who, Lord, maybe have in times past tasted and handled and felt that the Lord is gracious. But oh, we pray, Lord, that they may know that restoring time. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Oh, we pray, Lord, that thou wilt touch hearts and meet cases this night. We may know those sweet persuasions that thou art our God, our Father. Oh, we pray, Lord, leave not our souls destitute. May we, Lord, be found to be among those receiving. We think of that word, as many as received him. Oh, the Lord Jesus, giving endless life to his poor, unworthy people. Eternal life through his merits, his precious blood, his sin-atoning sufferings and death. Life-giving sacrifice. Oh, we pray, Lord Jesus, that thou bring us into a true knowledge of these things. Yes, Lord, in our intellect, but Lord, also in our experience. Oh, that we may be able to write tried and proved against those things in thy word. We may prove thee a prayer hearing and answering God, able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Oh, we pray, Lord, for this gathering here this evening, and those, Lord, that may be unable to attend but are listening in, Lord, we pray that thou remember them also and bless them with the same blessings we seek for us here. For thou art not bound by walls, but thou art able to go right where they are. So remember, Lord, us each with the favours that thou bearest unto thy people. And visit us with thy salvation. Lord, we pray, remember this church and congregation. Those that bear office here, Lord, we commit them into thy gracious hands. Lord, supply every need. Bless the church here with thy abiding presence. Unite them in one heart and one mind to serve the living God. Build them up in their most holy faith. Add to them such as should be saved by thy grace. Gather in from the congregation into the church. Lord, pour out thy blessing here, and may thy work be seen in and thy name be glorified in the salvation of many souls. Lord, every soul that enters this house of prayer. Lord, remember those that are visiting tonight. Remember them each, Lord, as they have been found here this evening. Lord, we pray for them and commit them into thy gracious hands, and that the causes of truth that they represent, Lord, remember thy people scattered throughout this land and indeed throughout the earth. Lord, we pray for thy blessing upon thy one church here below. Lord, we are living in challenging times, but Lord, all our times are in thy hand, and all events at thy command. And Lord, we pray that thou supply grace sufficient for each day, for each step of the way. Lord, we pray that we each may prove my grace is sufficient for thee, and my strength is made perfect in weakness. Oh, may we then be as the apostle. Lord, may we rather glory in our infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon us. Lord, we pray then, help us in our daily lives. May we seek to honour thee in all that we do. Keep us from the power of sin and Satan. Save us from the from indwelling sin, from the corruptions of our hearts, which are there by nature. Deliver us, Lord, from Satan's temptations. Lord, leave us not, neither forsake us, O God of our salvation. We're not worthy, Lord, of the least of thy notice. But Lord, it is mercy that we seek. It is mercy's ground that we seek to approach on. May we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. May we know the grace of God, the free and unmerited favours of God toward the unworthy. Oh, may we, Lord, know not just the knowledge of them in our heads, but the witnessing of them in our hearts. And Lord, may the effect be seen. May we, Lord, see the effect, experience the effect, and give witness to that change that grace and grace alone can make. Lord, may we desire and seek to witness a good witness. Lord, we are poor and needy, and Lord, how prone we are to backwardness, to slothfulness, to wandering, to sin. Lord, do look in thy compassion and thy mercy upon us, and send us that help from the sanctuary, and strengthen us out of Zion. Establish us in thy truth. Lord, make thyself precious to us. Make thy word a living word. O Lord, remember us, we humbly pray. We pray for each, Lord, in the various things that they have. There are those with big things before them. There are those, Lord, that may have changes or be going through changes in their lives. Lord, there are those that maybe have afflictions or the care of those that have afflictions. Lord, thou knowest every need. And we pray that thou bring us each unto thee in sanctifying these things and using these things to bring us to prayer, and that thou wilt give us that gift of faith, and Lord, that thou wilt truly use these things for the good of our souls, and may there be that effect in separating us and setting us apart and in drawing us closer to thee. Then help us, Lord, we pray. Help us here this evening. Presence thyself among us, Lord, we humbly pray. Forgive us our sins. Lord, forgive the poverty of our worship. Lord, there is sin mixed with all we do. Oh, that we pray that there may be a looking away from ourselves, a looking unto Jesus, even this night. Oh, then, Lord, bring to our view, the view of faith, thyself. Lord, may our thoughts, our desires, our hearts be taken up with thee. We ask, Lord, that thou take us home at the close of this service in peace and in safety, and help us as we seek to continue with this week. Oh, do, Lord, meet with thy the church and congregation here this coming Lord's Day, and bless the preaching of the gospel in this place to the saving of many souls. So help us, Lord. Pardon everything that is amiss. May everything that is of thee be burnt into our hearts and fixed as a nail in a sure place. May everything not of thee fall away and be remembered no more. We ask, Lord Jesus, in thy name and for thy sake. Amen.
In 139, my shepherd will supply my need, Jehovah is his name. In pastures fresh he makes me feed, beside the living stream. In 139.
Thank you.
turn with me to the second epistle to Timothy, chapter 1. With the Lord's help this evening, I will speak to you from the 12th verse. Second epistle of Paul to Timothy, chapter 1. And verse 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. The second epistle to Timothy, chapter 1, and verse 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Here the Apostle Paul writes to encourage his younger fellow labourer in the gospel. And there are many wonderful and beautiful exhortations contained in this second epistle. And we can see from this epistle the deep sense of love and union the aged Apostle Paul had to this younger servant of the Lord, Timothy. So much so that he desired that he might come to him, Paul being in bondage, in prison in Rome. And there is a desire in the heart of Paul for Timothy to come and be with him. And we can gather some sense as we read this first chapter. And he encourages Timothy. It reminds him of his faith. But he says this in verse 8, Be not thou, therefore, ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. Now, I'm not suggesting, and I don't think it is suggested, that this is any way saying that Timothy was ashamed of the gospel, of what he was preaching, or indeed of Paul himself. But Paul seems determined to really seek to remove anything that might be in any way a hindrance or a stumbling block for this younger man. He said, "For God," in verse 7, "for God hath given, and not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner." You see, because you know, there was much trouble, and there has been, hasn't there? In the Church of Jesus Christ, it has, throughout the ages, been subject to persecution. The followers of our Lord Jesus, from his immediate disciples onward, have had to endure afflictions, persecutions. We're told it is through much tribulation that the believer must go. But let us not underestimate, when these things come, the effect that they can have on those that would follow. Paul, he seems to take such detailed care, feeling maybe that his own present circumstances may be in some way a stumbling block, a hindrance to other followers, other believers, others who would take up the cross and follow other ministers of the word. And oh, that Timothy might go and visit him in his affliction, visit him in Rome, and see firsthand and witness firsthand the power of God being made known in the life of Paul, even when he was held a prisoner at Rome. And the effect that the door of utterance, even in that wicked house of Nero, even in that court, that God was being pleased to own and bless the preaching of the apostle. And there was much then to encourage. He says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord." You're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Or of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. And he applies to the heart of Timothy that had been touched by the sovereign, free, saving love of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, reminding this younger man that he was both saved and called by the grace of God. Well, we have this then, our text this evening, for the which cause I also suffer these things. In verse 11, Paul says, "Whereunto I am appointed a preacher." The Lord, having taken Saul, a persecutor of the Church of God, and wondrously and graciously intervened in his life, in calling him by his grace, delivering him from his former life, and bringing him to not only be a follower of the Lord Jesus, having previously been a persecutor of the Lord's dear people, to be a follower and also a preacher. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher. He had to go forth and preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. And he was to be an apostle. One of those founders of the early Church of God, establishing local churches, being greatly used by God in bringing together and establishing local churches founded on the one true foundation of the Church of God, Jesus Christ, and Him crucified. And you know, in his calling as a preacher of the gospel, there was to be a partaking of the afflictions of the gospel. In ministering the word of life, he was taking up his cross and following the Lord, and to be found ministering the gospel, preaching the word, and in so doing, the warfare, the conflict, he says, doesn't he? And speaks of it as a soldier. We read it, didn't we? Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier. That was in the second chapter, verse 3. A good soldier of Jesus Christ. And so Paul, you see, he had this calling, and so did Timothy. And every sent servant is called to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. But there's a calling in that to the afflictions of the gospel. And there is a loving and gracious reminder. And Paul gives Timothy a reminder of these things. It is a warfare. It is going into battle. The enemy of souls is at large, is busy. And those that are to minister the gospel are entering into that battle. But they go not on their own charge. They go not at their own command and their own commission. And they go not on their own. They go not on their own. I am appointed a preacher, he said, and an apostle. And being an apostle, in the day of the apostles, first to preach the gospel to the Jews. And, oh, what a conflict. What afflictions came. Oh, the persecution of the early Church of God by the unbelieving Jews. Dear friends, what a conflict. A preacher, an apostle, and then he had that special commission, a teacher of the Gentiles. And we can read in the Acts of the Apostles how he was sent to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. And what a conflict that brought. And what opposition came upon him. And what afflictions of the gospel were made known, both by the Jews, because he as a Jew went to the Gentiles, but then of those Gentiles which would not lay down their idols and the idolatry and the false gods and the opposition and the afflictions and the persecutions. For the which cause I also suffer these things. He's reminding dear Timothy here, he's not suffering as an evildoer. He's suffering for the truth's sake. I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, despite all of these things, you might look on my life, Timothy, and what you see is affliction upon affliction and trouble upon trouble and difficulty upon difficulty and adversity upon adversity. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. Not ashamed. Oh, there is no embarrassment. No point is he ashamed of his preaching Christ Jesus and him crucified, or ashamed of his master, his God. For the which cause I suffer these things, nevertheless, I am not ashamed. I am not ashamed. You know, my mind in my thoughts went to the Apostle Paul and his farewell to the church at Ephesus. You remember when he said his goodbyes to them and told them that they would no more see his face. The Lord had made known to him that he must go and he must appear in Rome, and also that he must die for the truth's sake. But what does he say? He says this to them, verse 22 of Acts 20, "And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there." First going to Jerusalem, and then he would apply to Caesar and go to Rome. "Save that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me." This is it. "But none of these things move me." Oh, that's wonderful, isn't it? Oh, friends, to have this steadfast faith in Jesus Christ. Oh, to have just something in measure of like faith. "None of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. None of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself." Oh, there, looking back to that final farewell to those at Ephesus, and now writing from a time of imprisonment in Rome, and still that determination to finish his course, to honour his Lord and Master, to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ in every opportunity that the Lord would give him, to whoever the Lord would have him stand before. "For the which cause also I suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. I'm not put off. I'm not hindered. I'm not deterred in this." And what is it? What is this strength that is in him? He says, "For I know whom I have believed. I know whom I have believed." He has knowledge. I know. Not just what I believe. I know whom I believe. And dear friends, may the Lord so apply this word to us. And may he be pleased to give us this same knowledge. You know, there's a knowledge which is intellectual. And this is necessary. It is necessary and shouldn't be dismissed in any way. Necessary for us to have some understanding. It doesn't mean we must be intellectual. God is able to give the knowledge of himself, a saving knowledge in Jesus Christ, even to those who maybe appear to have no intellect at all. It isn't based on intellect. But let us not then dismiss anything that might be done in the way of reading and searching of the scriptures and reading of good and godly literature. It has a place and it has a part. But he says, I know whom I have believed. You know, we have had our sovereign queen pass away, and many may claim to know about her, and many have written books about her, and many have known really everything there is to know about her in her public life. But can they truly say they know her? They knew her? They may know everything there really is to know about her that's available by way of research. And they may know so much about them that they feel like they know them. But really, this knowledge here is a knowledge that is received by them being known. Paul was known of his God. Those who truly spent time in the company of our Queen, who the Queen truly knew them, would truly be able to say that they knew her. And Paul here, he doesn't say, I know about God. He did. Great apostle, greatly taught in the scriptures. But he says, I know whom I have believed. And it speaks of a relationship. And it speaks of a being known of them, of him. Known of God knowing God and being known of him. And it is in his life, in his experience, these things were made known to him. God was made known to him. Yes, in the Word of God, in what was given at that point in time of God's Word, but known to Paul in his own personal experience and life. And this, dear friend, oh, what a foundation for his hope. I know whom I have believed, I have trusted. He had put his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Being brought by the grace of God to look to the Lord Jesus. Having looked to him and dismissed him in former days, the Lord changing him in that wondrous conversion and turning him from a despiser to a believer, blessing him with true living faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and Paul putting his trust in the Lord Jesus, and being brought to exercise faith in the Lord Jesus, and in his life, here and there, that the Lord had brought him and taught him and led him and confirmed to him, oh, the love that God had toward him. I know whom I have believed. Oh, do you know something, dear friend? Or is your desire this evening? Maybe you know all about him. But what you really want to know now is, does he know all about me? Does he know me? Now, does he know about me and my soul? Now, does he know me as one of his dear children? Did he know me? Did the Lord Jesus Christ himself know me? When he came to this sin-cursed earth with that work given to him by the Father to do in recovering all the lost souls and restoring them, recovering them from their sin and restoring them and bringing them back to God through his blood, through his righteousness, his life he lived. Oh, did he know me then? Did he come for me? The apostle says, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded. You know, friends, there'll be those that might think that a preacher should do the persuasion. Dear friends, that work will be made known. It is God-given persuasion. It is God's persuasion that we need. We need the Lord to clearly lead us, teach us, and so in doing persuade us that his love is toward us. Persuade us that against all that we see in the sinfulness of our lives and the ruin that sin has brought in our lives, God's wondrous persuasions of an interest in the Lord Jesus Christ, his blood which cleanses from all sin. His spotless life, which is that, lived on behalf of his people, that they might have a life lived without sin. Something without spot, without wrinkle and without any blemish. Oh, these persuasions. Persuading a poor sinner against all that Satan tells him or her. That they can't be one of a chosen vessel of mercy. They're too far off. They're too far off in sin. They cannot be one of his dear children. Oh, the power of God in changing the lives, the minds, the hearts of his dear children. Oh, to know these persuasions. Oh, it's God himself must do the work. Only the Lord can truly work this wondrous work, but he did it in the life of the dear apostle. And he had done it in the life of dear Timothy. And you have known it, and you've witnessed it in the lives of those that have lived in this place, that have worshipped in this place, and they've given testimony, they are now in glory. They are now in glory. But they would say the same as this, and express the same as the apostle here. I know whom I have believed. I know whom I have believed. And am persuaded that he's able to keep. Able to keep. Able to save, able to keep, able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, able to give strength equal to each day, able to make the impossible possible, able to supply a continual stream of love and grace and mercy. Able to give love. Able to give love. To bring into the heart of his people the sense of the love of God. And the love of God toward them. So that their response must be that their love flows to him in return. And this love that God gives his dear children. Oh, didn't the apostle write of it in 1 Corinthians 13? This love, he says, charity, this which is preeminent, this charity, he says, it beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things, and he's able to give it. Oh, he is. Do you believe? Do you believe that? Have you read that? Have you heard of it, dear friend? Oh, pray the Lord will bring you into a way of experience of that. The love of God, his wondrous ability, how willing and able the Lord Jesus Christ to save poor, unworthy sinners. Oh, these poor, unworthy people. Oh, they do not deserve the least of his notice. Oh, but the grace of God in bringing them out of nature's darkness, bringing them in his time and way, in his way, in his order of things, however it might begin, but bringing them to that same point, having no hope and in themselves, seeing their own good works, their own righteousnesses, their own endeavours to serve God and to do the works, seeing those as filthy rags, even those things polluted with sin, and being brought to look entirely to the life that Jesus lived, and to him alone, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Oh, the day which was fast approaching the apostle. The day that was coming in which he must be offered up. He must suffer as a martyr, be put to death for Christ's sake. Oh, the day when he must stand before the judgment seat of Christ. You know, beloved friends, you and I may not be brought to suffer as a martyr, but you and I, without exception, will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And oh, what is our hope? What is your comfort? What is persuading you so that you're able to sleep at night? What is propping up and giving you the security and the foundation in your life? What is it that is not having you in complete and utter despair and turmoil and trouble? Is it ignorance? Is it ignorance of that day? Is dismissing it as nothing? Oh, friends, many of us can look back and the things we did, and it was blind ignorance. As Satan's blind slave, I sported with death on the brink of a never-ending eternity and lived carefree and careless as if nothing was before us. Ignorance. That gives some peace. It does. Oh, I pray the Lord he'll shatter that peace for you before the day of your death. And he'll bring that peace and show you what it is. No peace at all. What is it? Maybe it is this evening. Yeah, the Lord has made known something of himself. Oh, and it is that which is supporting you. Oh, you want more of it. You know, the Apostle Paul, and it's true of everyone that knows something of the Lord Jesus, they want to know more. Oh, they'll never be satisfied. They'll never be satisfied with what they know. Oh, they'll want to know more. The Apostle in Philippians, that I may know him. And that was one of the last epistles he ever wrote, that I may know him, wanting to know more. Oh, but what a foundation, what a comfort, to rest more secure, to know more and more of the everlasting arms that are bearing up and carrying through. Oh, to know more of Jesus Christ and him crucified. Oh, to live in more comfort and peace in the knowledge that Jesus died and rose again. Oh, but to be found committing these things. Paul says, I have committed unto him, and of you and of I. Have you been brought to see, oh, such a need to lay yourself at the feet of Jesus. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Look upon me through thy Son. Look upon me in thy compassion through the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, look upon me and have mercy upon me and heal my soul and wash away my sin and hide me in thy Son, in that refuge that's in him for poor, needy sinners, to commit everything into his hand. You know, the Lord began with Paul and he was brought to commit. And the Lord is pleased to still bring his people to his feet in prayer. And there's a committing of tomorrow and a committing of this and a putting this into the hands of the Lord to undertake and do for them. And he shows them and demonstrates and proves to them and persuades them not just that he is the Lord God in heaven, but he's there. He's their Father. And he's their friend. And oh, Jude comes to the end, doesn't he, of his epistle. And he closes with this. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Saviour, be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and ever. Amen. Now unto him. Oh, that honour and glory and praise to him that loved us and gave himself for us. Oh, to praise, be brought to praise him for the hope which is set before us in the gospel. To be persuaded that though we see ourselves in a body of sin, so much seems to testify against us. Oh, yet our eyes have to look away from ourselves. We have to be brought to look to the Lord Jesus entirely. None but Jesus. Oh, and to rest our faith in him. Cast anchor into Christ who is within the veil. And wait for that great change to come when we must leave all here below. It was soon with the apostle. It will be soon with us. Oh, to have that forerunner. Even Jesus, who has gone on before. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Paul Austin is expected to preach next Lord's Day, and Mr. Chapman next Friday evening. Let us close with hymn 136. Dear refuge of my weary soul, On thee when sorrows rise, on thee when waves of trouble roll, my fainting hope relies. Hymn 136.
Thank you.
Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with you each, now and for evermore. Amen.